Welcome to our show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to our show today. My name is Wanda McKinley. I'm your host, along with co-host Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men and women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, as well as to uplift them and provide them a new life with a new perspective of a normal life by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence from early as the age of 7, which is what I can remember. From 7 to 12, my biological father molested me. At the age of 13, my stepfather raped me. And then from the age of 13 to 18, my biological father and stepfather continuously raped me. Then I met my ex-husband at the age of 19. And he was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help other individuals as well as children who have walked or may even still be walking in my shoes. Thank you for joining our show today, whether you're live and or listening. Listening to it recorded, we just thank you and appreciate you for taking the time out to do so. Stephanie, how is your day, your week? I know I've already asked you that, but I'm asking you again for the listening audience, and then go into whatever else you have to tell us. Oh, and I always do that. I guess I need to keep mindful of that. Okay, now your mic is live. Go ahead.
It's been a very interesting week. That's all I can say right now. It's been a very, very interesting week. I'll go ahead and go into our fundraisers that we have. We are survivors. Definitely need your support. We currently have several fundraisers. We have our Kroger Rewards program that we participate in. If you currently have a Kroger Rewards card, or if you will go and get a Kroger Rewards card and go to Kroger.com, if you start typing in We Are Survivors, it will pop up and link to We Are Survivors, and each according to what you spend each quarter, they will send us a donation. So you're not doing anything different. Just continue shopping like you normally do, and they will send us a donation each quarter according to what you spend. The same thing with TomTom. If you link your card to We Are Survivors, you go to TomTom.com. And link it to your survivors, will get a donation as well when you're not doing anything different. With either one of those, if you'll contact me at 817-320-2571, again, that's 817-320-2571, either text me or call me. I will be more than happy to help you get linked up. We also do the CPN. Discount card is $15 a year, and you get discounts all over the U.S., and half of that comes to We Are Survivors. We do the Compass Bank fundraiser. If you link your when you link your account to We Are Survivors, then we get a donation for you using your account. So you're not doing anything different. Just by you using your account, you get a donation. So if you currently have an account, if you link it to We Are Survivors, or if you go and open an account and link it to We Are Survivors, then we'll get a donation. And then we also do the Purple City Project, where it's dealing with photography. And I always wonder, explain that one, because she's already gone and taken her pictures, and she took beautiful pictures. So because she's already done those, I always let her explain that one. So I wanted to go ahead and take over and explain that one.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's actually called the Purple City Project, and it is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot, and Domestic Violence Awareness Month is around the corner. It is coming really, really fast. So if you haven't done it this year or last year, October will be a great time to do it. The photographer's name is Charles, a.k.a. City, and it can be a personal or professional shoot. He has like four different packages. One package is, I'm going to go over the top two, which is a $55 package, which is actually valued at $100. It is a 20-minute session, up to four people, unlimited shots, one look, which is one outfit, ladies, and two edits, which means you get to pick two of your pictures that you like, and that's what you get to take home for your $55. Then you have an $80 package, which is valued at $160. And it's a 45-minute session, up to four people, unlimited shots, two looks, two outfits. And then because you have up to four people, you can actually get up to four pictures. His contact number is 214-591-1370. Once again, 214-591-1370. And actually, today is North Texas Giving Day. So if you're listening to this live, then you still have time. If you listen to this afterwards, then you won't have time, because it's simply just for today. It's from 6 a.m. to midnight. And what it is, it's a lot of different organizations, nonprofit organizations, that actually have to go through certain tests and criteria in order to even qualify for being a part of this wonderful event today. And it's an online giving event. People across the nation and the world come together and just donate to different organizations. We Are Survivors, I'm ecstatic to announce, is one of those nonprofit organizations that is listed. This is our second year. And so just, if I could say, if you're listening today, or if you listen to this recording on September 22nd, 2016, if you listen to it before midnight, all you have to do is go and type in North Texas Giving Day, look up We Are Survivors. Actually, this year, there's one, it's an organization called We Are Family, right above ours. Oh, my goodness. Make sure you're picking We Are Survivors to donate funds. So that's the fundraising events that's going on. Today, I just want to kind of fill in on things that We Are Survivors are doing. I want to talk about a personal experience last week that triggered me. It was really emotional. I really didn't realize how it affected me till probably like 24 to 48 hours afterwards. But what I do want to go into first is just the things that We Are Survivors have coming up. On the 24th, which is Saturday, there is a, it's called Sentiment Mood. It's actually more than that. I want to pull it up so I can really give you the full logistics of it, because it's going to be an excellent event. I do know she has only 10 tickets left, which is awesome. Let me see about pulling it up. It's a Sentimental Mood Dessert and Wine Social. and that is from 5 p.m. to 8. And it's really like it's going to have jazz and open mic, and it's just going to be like a celebration of her 5 years being in existence, which is Emily Blue. So I'm looking forward to that. That is September 24th, which is Saturday, from 5 p.m. to 8. Also, there is another, it's from 10 to 12, it's a domestic violence conference. It's a free conference, and it's located in downtown Dallas Library. That attracts at 10 to 12. So they're going to have like an open panel and discussion of the topic domestic violence. So I'm trying to pull that up too as well. You can get more information about that. Let's see. It is, yes, the Meadows Conference Center, 2900 Live Oak Street in the Oak Corner Room. And Lou Jean Guy Ministries is putting this on. And it simply states, too many people are physically abused by an intimate partner. Countless others are psychologically, emotionally, verbally, sexually, and financially abused. You may be a survivor yourself. It is time to end the destruction of life perpetrated through domestic violence. Don't miss this life-changing conference. Come and learn how to prevent domestic violence and join in the cause for life. Once again, that's going to be Saturday, September 24th at 10 a.m. to noon at the Meadows Conference Center, 2900 Corner Room. This is that is a free event. And then the Sentimental Mood Dessert and Wine Social, that is actually going to be at the Jeanette Kennedy Gallery, South Side on Lamar, which is 1409 South Lamar Street, Dallas, Texas. And like I said, that it says arrive at 5, the red carpet check-in, mix and mingle, vendor showcase, and music is from 5 to 6. And then the actual part of the program begins at 6. Once again, that is Saturday, the 24th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. So that's two different things going on Saturday. If you just want to get out and be a part of making a difference and making a change with domestic violence. Coming up October 1st, We Are Survivors is a judge at the Silver and Gold Pageant. Excited about that. That is going to be in Bronx Springs. And that the beauty pageant is from 11 to 3. Then we have a book signing tour. For those who don't know, I am a debuted as a co-author in a phenomenal book, and it's actually right now number one in the women's inspirational spiritual section. So we're really excited about that. And for me to debut in a number one bestseller is awesome. The tour actually begins in Dallas Friday, September 30th, and it ends October 1st. There is going to be speakers Friday and Saturday. Saturday ends with a gala. So it's kind of like your little bit better than your Sunday best. This is a great time to actually meet the other co-authors, meet the publisher, and so that's going to be October 1st. And then Faith Diva is going to have it's kind of like a invitation-only private viewing, but I'm going to mention it because she is my designer, and she's going to do it from 6:30 to 9:30. That's October 1st. I'm trying to make sure that's it because there was so much going on for October 1st. We're going to have a paint and sip on soda. Paint and sip as well October 1st. That's going to have to be canceled. It's actually going to have to be, I can't really say combined, but for those that are going to go to the paint and sip, it has to be reverted to the book signing event because, unfortunately, the times overlapped and the book signing event, I have to actually participate and be there because I will not be at the other Turin cities, and since this is my hometown, this is where it begins, that I have to be at the one that's here in actually Duncanville. So we did not do the paint and sip because of the book signing. There's a house fair October 8th at Strong Arms Church that is in Pleasant Grove. There was one there, I think it was like 3 months ago. It was wonderful. So if you missed that one, feel free to come out to the October 8th. Let's see. I think that's pretty much right now what's on the book coming up in the next, in a couple, in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But as we know, things change. Invitations come, and maybe we're winding down because it's at the end of the year. That would be really nice. We are survivors. To go ahead and make this known, we are working on, because now I can officially put in the paperwork this week, I think it was Tuesday, for our, it's going to be called We Are Survivors Domestic Violence Hashtag Pull Through 5K Walk Run. Our first annual is going to be, the tentative date is October 14th. So once the date is secure, then we will begin putting it on Facebook and building a team to get that. Which we already have some people in place. But once I get the date situated, then we're going to move from there. But I turned in the paperwork yesterday, Tuesday, so hopefully that I'll get information back from the city of Lancaster soon. And on top of that news, I want to also acknowledge that We Are Survivors now has a branch in Oklahoma. We have a young lady that actually joined We Are Survivors. Her name is Virginia Welch. Her wonderful husband's name is Charles Welch. We met yesterday. They actually drove in from Oklahoma. She is going to be building We Are Survivors in Oklahoma. Really excited about it. She's hit the ground running. She's come up with so many different ideas, so many different things to do. I'm having to jot them down. But I'm excited for that to be happening. I'm excited that God saw fit for us to expand into another state. I am quite thankful it's next door to us. We Are Survivors will be doing a lot of supporting and traveling the Dallas team. FYI, Stephanie. We'll be gathering and getting in cars and going to events to show support for her, to let her know that we're here to support her and to be a resource for her, because she is doing all of that by herself, because We Are Survivors is in Dallas. We Are Survivors, we have each other here because we live right here. But to be the only We Are Survivors in a whole other state by ourselves is, couldn't even imagine, because I rely on Stephanie for a whole lot, and other people that come out, support, help, I couldn't do it without them. So we're going to give the same respect to her and show her support. For anyone that may listen to the show that lives in Oklahoma, I know our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. If you live in Oklahoma, and next week I'll have a telephone number because she's working on getting that done today. But if you're in Oklahoma or closer to Oklahoma than you are to Texas, you can also reach out to Oklahoma, and their email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation.ok@gmail.com. So that'll separate. And if you want to email Oklahoma, you can. If you want to email Dallas, you can. We're just going to come together as a family and build this. Build this organization spiritually as well as, I want to say really too emotionally, financially, of course. That's what we need to be able to help people is the financial support. And I know with time, God will take care of that because he's taking care of everything else. Now, my personal experience, last week in class, because I'm also a student, and a lot of people ask me, when do I sleep? But I'm also a student, and there was this young man in the classroom, and it started out, we have what we call team assignments in school. I'm not a fan of them. Because what it is your teacher will assign you to these groups. And you have to work together to complete an assignment. Which means everyone has to collaborate, everyone has to be on the same page. Well, we know how difficult that may be. This young gentleman, I'm the lead, but one of the other students took the time out to reach out to him because she had noticed that he didn't do his part correctly. And she reached out to him to correct it. Well, he didn't do so. So when it got time for me to put everything together, I just text him to say, hey, you know, I don't see your work where, first of all, where it should be, and second of all, it's not in the right format. Well, that text didn't go as planned. It really took a left turn. So it went so left that when we got to class, I, you know, wanted to talk to the professor, but I was like, hey, let's just wait until all the students get here. And so the professor's probably 70-ish, 70 to 75 years of age. He's at an age where he needs to retire. And I said that because he forgets his place and starts repeating himself. Well, when the student that needed to be addressed made it to the classroom, he was already on 10 from the text. So it wasn't like you could go from 0 to maybe 2, okay, 4, 6, now you're getting a little out of control, bring it down. He was already at 10. The professor, being as old as he is and as fragile, allowed the student to verbally attack me. And it became to the point, because in my head I am trying to remain calm, I'm trying to not react, but because I'm having to sit there, and it wasn't even worth trying to say something, because the more that was to be said, the louder and the more aggressive he became, to the point one of the male students that was sitting behind him stood up, because if he would have gotten up, then the male student had said he was just not even going to say anything, he was just going to hit him. That's how aggressive this young man was. He used almost every cuss word, I guess, he could think of. Once again, for those who are survivors, understand that when someone is yelling at you and screaming at you and becoming very aggressive and in front of someone, it's not good. You immediately go into defense mode, and you want to do whatever you possibly can to shut the situation down. Needless to say, I had to leave out of the room, and I went to report him. And the security guard and the woman at the front desk, at the time when I first went there, because I was like requesting the police, because I'm shaken, I'm traumatized, because I can't react the way I wanted to react, because I have to keep in mind I'm at school. And if I react
the way the initial thought was, I'm going to regret it. But his yelling and screaming took me to a place I hadn't been in a long time. So the front office agreed to call the cops, and then the security guard came to the room, which agitated this young man even more. So this young man asked the security guard to come out in the hallway. They're out in the hallway yelling and screaming so that we had to close the door. This made me even more uncomfortable because the security guard was small in stature compared to the student. So what happens, I go back up to the front, and they tell me that they didn't call the cops. So my question to them was, well, why not? Well, ma'am, that's why security is here. But security just got handled by this man. The security couldn't stop this man if he really wanted to do something. The security just is standing here in this uniform, and that really, to me, is all he represents. So the security guard looks at me and says, well, ma'am, they'll get charged if they call the cops. That's why I'm here. No, you're afraid you're going to get in trouble because I had to call the cops because you're here. So I called the police. They were there less than 2 minutes. By the time they got there, though, the student had already left. But in my head, in my mind, if the front desk and the security guard just would have called the police, as they said in the beginning, the student would have still been there. The student, of course, being gone, police took a police report. And so yesterday, I had to go back to school. For me, pulling up to the school and recanting what happened because the student left, the situation was never resolved. The dean of students, because I filed and written a formal complaint against the student and the language that he chose to use. So the dean of students was in the class when we got there. Tuesday. But me having to walk into that class, I was so tense because I didn't know what I was walking into. I didn't know the mindset of this man. I found out that he is 100% disabled because of the military. So then you're showing, so that's one reason why you're so aggressive and so angry, because of the things that you've gone through. And it appears that you really need help. But probably most likely won't get it. So the dean came to the class and kind of sat there and introduced himself and had everyone introduce themselves to him. He kind of put names, faces with name, never really said why he was in there. But because I knew what was going on and he had called me and I remembered his name, I knew he was in there for the complaint. Shortly thereafter, the professor left. The student that I filed my complaint also left. And it's just amazing how tense I was with him in there versus how more relaxed and calm and easygoing I was when he left out. So I said all of that to say I still, too, have my triggers, my moments, my times when I feel that I want to scream, shout, and hurt whomever is hurting me, however they may be hurting. It doesn't matter if it's verbally, physically, emotionally, psychologically. It doesn't matter. I want to protect myself by all means necessary. And last week in class, I had already mapped out what I was going to do if this man started walking towards me. I wasn't going to allow close enough for him to do something to me because I had already mapped out in my head my game plan. And this young lady in class told me that I overreacted. And when I got through telling her that I've been beaten, that I've been raped, that I've been, someone has tried to set me on fire, that my eardrum has been busted. When I got to explain to her my past in life and what I had gone through, her mouth dropped. And I looked at her and I said, you cannot tell me I overreacted because I've survived abuse for 24 years. And until you've walked in my shoes, you don't know how that affected me. And honestly, I didn't realize how it affected me until I was still feeling the aftermath Thursday of last week. I know for survivors, we heal and we go on with life and we can be happy. But if someone does something similar to what you have survived through, it takes you right back to that moment in life. It takes you back to the feeling, and it reminds you of why you don't do or say or be around certain people in your life anymore. So that was a very trying, emotional time for me last week. Because of what I was feeling, I didn't really realize that I have my moments, and I think we all have our moments, where we break down and we cry and we pray and we ask God why. Why do I have to go through what I went through? Why do I have to feel what I feel? And last Wednesday, I was having one of those moments where I cried so my eyes were falling. Okay, God, why? Why do I have to feel this way? Why do I have to walk this path, be on this journey, help others when I'm in so much pain, when I'm in so much turmoil, when I have so many questions? Why? And I heard God say, record yourself and put it on Facebook. People need to see you in pain. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. These are my private moments. I'm not going to do it. And I've heard him tell me that before and I didn't do it. And he said, Wanda, people need to see all of you. You're supposed to be transparent. I said, God, I am. I talk about it all the time. Wherever I go, whoever will listen, I talk about it. He said, no. But when they see you, they see the glam. They see the laughter. They see the clothes. They see the hair. They see the jewelry. They don't see your pain. And I was like, oh, okay, you got a point. So in my head, while I'm bawling, I'm crying, but all these this conversation with God is going on in my head. And so I finally said, okay, God, I'll be obedient. And I record the last, it was actually 3 minutes, I believe, of what I was feeling. And the outpour from that was amazing. To get so many people to respond, and they majority of them just simply said, I am glad to know I'm not alone. I'm glad to know that you feel and go through what. It amazed me to get so many comments to that nature. Whether they inbox me, they text me, or they commented on the page itself. I had so many people call me, friends that I ain't talked to in a long time, that saw the video and simply asked me, are you okay? So in my head, I said, okay, God, you was right like always. People needed to see that other side. People needed to see that, wow, she is really transparent, and wow, she's hurting. And I always say, there's so many tears behind my smile. There are. But once again, that's what we have to do, you know, to be obedient, to do God's work, to do God's will. And from that, my story inspired this woman that I met yesterday to drive over 4 hours to come meet me. She's like, I've been following We Are Survivors for a year. She says, it's actually been a little over a year. She said, I don't post much. I don't like much. She said, but I follow you. And what touched me was she simply said, well, I'm having a bad day. And when I'm at my lowest, she says, I go to your page for inspiration and motivation. My mouth dropped. I'm like, huh? So, Stephanie, I'm saying this to you too because we keep pushing. We, you know, do what we do. We go here, we go there, we go to this event, we talk here, we talk there. You know, we support these, we support that. We post stuff on Facebook. We, you know, post that inspirational things. We kind of share things that we're doing. People are watching. And I didn't realize it until she said it. And I laughed at her. I said, that's kind of creeping me out. It's kind of creepy to hear you've been following We Are Survivors for a year. And I've never known that. I've never known. You have those that you see that like and post and comment all the time. But you never think about the ones that you don't see post and like and comment all the time. They're out there. And so people are watching what you do, what you say, your emotions, your feelings. They're watching. So it was this last week. It's you start off saying you've had yours been interesting. But now that I stop and talk about mine, has been quite interesting too. Ours is different, interesting, but mine has been interesting too. Just got to keep pressing through, pressing forward, pressing on. The fundraiser that we're having, I need people to start participating. 2017 is going to be a push. And I really do mean a push. We are hosting the International Women Conference here in Dallas next year. And I actually today turned in the paperwork to request September 22nd and 23rd of 2017. Praying, if God says the same, that it will be at the Dallas City Performance Hall. It's a beautiful venue. It's right across the street from Booker T. Praying about that. It's just breathtaking, the venue. So that's going to be here. We also have a trip that we're raising funds for to go to Nigeria. It's a 3-country tour. And having to do with the Black Girls Land Project. Our partner that is in Europe is actually in France. She went to France today, and she'll be there till Monday. And she's there looking for sponsors and looking for speakers. I'm going to go ahead and start talking about it because for people who may listen, I haven't started posting on Facebook yet. I hadn't found the right words, but just we're just on the radio, I can say it versus typing it. We're going to be looking for the top 10 first ladies. So, recommendations can come in that why you think your first lady should be acknowledged. We will have at our conference Friday. It's actually speakers. We'll have speakers at Friday from 9 to 3. With a break, of course, for lunch. Saturday morning to midday, we'll have continuation of speakers and educational things to do. Then we shut down and come back at 8 for the gala, the dinner, and the award ceremony. And for the award ceremony, once again, we want to acknowledge what our first ladies are doing in our churches. We want to bring awareness to the communities of these churches and what they're doing, be it a Black church or white church, Catholic. We want to acknowledge our women. And so I'm going to start eventually putting it out on social media, so that we can start to get feedback and actually start putting it to an elite news. I just thought about that as I'm sitting here talking. We want to give thanks. You know, we always give thanks to our pastors, which we'll continue to do that. But I think about that first lady that stands next to her husband through thick and thin, couldn't imagine being the first lady and having to deal with all that they deal with. So we want to acknowledge them. We want to let them know that we care, that we are survivors, see them, appreciate them, and we care. And that's going to be a part of our conference as well. So just keep that in mind. I want to talk about, because of, her name is Virginia Welch. She's our new executive director in Oklahoma. Because she said that our page was inspirational and motivational to her, I think it's imperative to also talk about inspirational and motivational stories that come from survivors of domestic violence. We're going to, I'm not having the time, it's going to be this year, beginning of next year, start back with interviewing survivors and interviewing women and men, women that want to come out and speak, to tell our story, to talk about what they've gone through, how God brought them through what they went through. Because I know for me, I wouldn't be here right now today in this mindset that I'm in if it wouldn't be for God. And one of the phone calls I received was from Gwendolyn Jones. She is the founder of Arise International. And they have classes on for sexual assault victims, domestic violence victims. And then it's a very drilled down healing process type of class. And after she saw the video, she called and reached out to me, explaining to Gwen, because I didn't feel any type of emotions, ill will. It is amazing when I tell people this in their facial expression, but it's the truth. God removed any type of negative feelings that I would have had towards my abusers when the abuse was going on. And he did that. Oh, I can't say, I've been praying about it, but I can't really fully say why I believe he did that. What I do know is, when he showed me my purpose and my calling in life, all of the emotions and the feelings that he had once protected me from, he dropped in my spirit all at once. And you talk about the excruciating pain. And I think, well, I know why. That's why a lot of times I have my crying, because I can feel what I couldn't feel when I was going through my abuse. I can feel the anger, the nastiness, the discomfort, the shame. I feel all of those things now, and I didn't feel those things in the beginning. And as I explained to Gwen, because, of course, she invited me to come to her classes, I explained to her, I feel I have to go through my process. I have to go through this pain. I have to feel what I'm feeling. And when God says, okay, you felt enough, you've gone through enough, now it's time for you to get your proper healing. Now it'll be time for you to get I have to walk through the forest, walk through the flames, because I hadn't experienced any of this. I hadn't experienced the pain when I sit back and think about what happened to me. And fortunately, when I sit and visualize what took place, I didn't go through then the nastiness. I didn't feel, I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it, like, oh, well, maybe this is what the norm is for me, because that's what always happened. As far as I can remember, that was my life. So I didn't go through why. I didn't go through the anger. I didn't go through, I want to kill. I didn't go through any of that. I embraced my abusers. I did the total opposite. I didn't run away from them. I ran to them. Because, unfortunately, I felt safe there. That's what I knew. And for both of my father figures in my life to be doing the same thing, I just simply thought that was what was supposed to happen. So I didn't know to be like, this is not right. Because as far as I can remember, that was my life. My father molested me before the age of 7. I don't remember. But what I can tell you is from the age of 7 ongoing, in my head, it was right. It was the only thing I knew.
So for me now to go through all the pain, to go through the purpose of understanding sympathy, empathy, and being able to say, when I say I understand how you feel, I truly, really understand how you feel. Stephanie lost her mom, and all I can do for her is pray for her strength. She lost her mom, it wasn't this year. And she's having a bad week because of the loss of her mom. I can't say, and people always say, I know how you feel. I don't know how she feels. But I know I can hurt for her because I love her and she's dear to my heart. But I can't honestly say I know how she feels. I can pray for her and offer prayer. My pain that I'm going through right now from being victimized, when I'm talking to someone that is being victimized or has, I can legitimately say now, I know how you feel. And I can go into so descriptive depth of emotions and feelings to give you confirmation that I truly understand. And I'll explain to when I believe now, God believes now or knows now that I'm equipped to handle this pain. I was not equipped to handle it back then. And I believe that's why God protected me so from all this pain. So now I get to deal with the anger, the hurt, the pain, the why, how come, how could you, what made you think this. So I have all of these questions. Not to mention, I've had a very emotional week. Saturday, I get a phone call because I'm going to be transparent. Get a phone call from my brother. He's like, where are you?
Nope, my car has been in the shop again. So I'm like, I'm going to get my car out of the shop. So I need you at mom's house now. My question to him was, well, is mom, you know, trying to commit suicide? What is the 911? And he was like, well, no, but I need to talk to you. Well, can you talk to me over the phone? Well, some of you all remember, I've stressed that my family is divided. I have my mom and brother and myself on one side and my sister and my dad on the other side. And now, my dad is saying that I'm a liar. My dad is saying that all of this is not true. I've made it up. Because he's telling my sister. And he's brainwashed my sister so that she's beginning, well, I don't want to say beginning, she's always believed him because she sided with him 2 years ago. Now, she told my mom she knew about me and my stepfather. I didn't even know that. That was news to me. But my mother was so distraught by some of the things that my sister said that it sent my mother to the hospital for a week. My mother has congestive heart failure, irregular heartbeat, she has low blood pressure, and she probably has about two more diagnoses. I can't think of them all right now. My mother didn't call and tell anyone that she was in the hospital. And they were in there. She was in there trying to get her blood pressure down. Now, I did say she had low blood pressure. I saw with my sister, it skyrocketed. But I told my mother and I told my brother that I would not allow my father to mentally and emotionally abuse me again. And I told my mother, because I was angry at first, which means I was very descriptive, and I told my mother, I know what I see. I know what I remember, and I can remember my father penetrating me. You cannot take that away from me because it happened, and it happened more than once. You cannot take those feelings, those memories, those pictures, those movies that play in my head now all the time. You can't take that away from me. It's there. You can't make up the pain. You can't make up the tears. You cannot do it. So I tell my mother and my brother that I will not be a part of being torn down again, that I will not play a role in entertaining my abuser slash my father. I will not allow him to once again bring me down, because now he's trying. And I really believe it's because now the stories have surfaced around our family. We have people that Facebook, Instagram. So now I think it's hitting him in his face. And, you know, when you're like a cat backed up in a corner, you come out scratching, you come out clawing. Whenever you feel you need to get out of that situation, that's what you're doing. So now my father, to my sister, is calling me a liar. I welcome him to come out from behind the shadow. I welcome him to come out and speak, because it will give me the opportunity to ask him why. Do I really think he's going to do it? No. Because it's so much that I can say that he has to be a really fast thinker, come up with a lie, like really fast. Because I'm telling the truth. I don't have to make something up. I don't have to come up the top of my head with something. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to truth. I'm going to look you in your face and tell you what you did to me. This is what you did to me because of what you did to me. This is what I'm dealing with. I had a coworker ask me yesterday, and he was like, "So, how bad is it?" His exact words was, "How bad did your husband beat you up?" And I just kind of looked at him. I didn't take it offensively. I just knew he just really didn't know how to ask that question correctly. So I looked at him. I said, "Well, let me back you up and really tell you a very short version." So when I started off with my father, went to my stepfather, and then went to my ex-husband, he was lost for words. And just looked at me. "You've gone through that?" "I have." So, because of Virginia Welch in Oklahoma, because of her driving down from Oklahoma yesterday, because she says that our postings on Lear Survivors motivate her, because we inspire her when she's at her lowest. That one person is what I pray for. Every time I go into a venue, every time I have to speak, every time I write something, every time I open my eyes, I can just touch one person. God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. And because of Ms. Welch, I have the strength and the want to keep going. And I know today, this evening, you all didn't hear very much from Stephanie. Because like I said, Stephanie is still dealing with the loss of her mother. And I thank her for even doing what she is doing. And we're going to constantly, you know, keep her and her family in their prayers. Because that losing a loved one is a significant loss in life, especially when that person is dear to your heart. So I just thank her for even coming on and being the co-host that she is, even though today, by all rights, she's quiet and I'm talking my head off. But I've experienced a lot emotionally since we last talked. And I have to share what goes on in my life that traumatizes me, that affects me, so that you'll know I do have my struggles. I do deal with my past, still feel the pain, still get angry. I too still cry. I too have triggers. I too can be affected by something to someone that really doesn't mean anything, and they don't understand, well, why would you react that way? Well, let me explain to you why. So I have to always remember that when something affects me, to share it and not keep it to myself, which is what I am accustomed to doing, but I've been taught to be transparent. I didn't want to read a inspirational story, but God had me share my crazy week emotionally. I just want to once again thank those that are listening, be it live or if you go back and replay it. Remember, today is once again North Texas Giving Day. You just go Google North Texas Giving Day and look up We Are Survivors. And donate. Doesn't matter if it's a dollar, which is actually the minimum. Something is better than nothing. We have got to step up, and like I said, 2017 will be pushed. We've got to begin to seriously raise funds and get out there and do what needs to be done. We have to. We touch lives, we help people, we talk to people, but now we've got to raise funds so that we can do other things other than just talk, help, and refer. Thank everyone that took the time out to listen, to call in. If you have any questions, comments, or survivor stories, the direct number for myself is 214-454-2933. For Stephanie, it's 817-320-2571. If you want to email the Texas division, it's wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. If you want to email our new Oklahoma division, it is wearesurvivorsfoundation.ok@gmail.com. We always want to thank God for listening, for you listening. I pray that today something on the show that was said that touched your heart that you can use. We are always here to help, listen, support, guide, and most of all, lift you up. We do always give praises to our Lord and Savior Christ. Thank you once again. We thank all of our supporters. We don't take anyone for granted. Thank you so much, and have a blessed evening.